Let's go now to the head coach of University of Tennessee basketball, the great Konzo Martin, joining us now as we are live today here at your Pilot Food Mart, beautiful Tazewell Pike, where we be. Come out and drop your name in our hat, as Ronnie Mitch Mitchell just did. It's unbelievable. Coach Konzo Martin, good morning to you, sir. Always good to hear your voice. Great day to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's outstanding to talk with you. Hey, before we get started here in our conversation, you're on for a special reason today. You have camps coming up, and I want to say something to you. If your camps are anything like the way you interact with fans during when I see you out in public and when I see you after games down the floor at Thompson Bowling Arena when folks are coming up to you and you're signing stuff, I bet your camps are good stuff. I bet you take some time for those kids. Talk about your camps for a second.
Well, they're a lot of fun, obviously. It's very entertaining. I think that the thing that the young men that come to the camp they like about it is our players work the camp, so they get a chance to see all the guys, their favorite players, because they do work the camp. They're part of the camp. We make it an emphasis that those guys be around in between classes or when they don't have classes. They coach teams, so I think that's the most fun of it. The campers, they really don't like to see me a lot. They like to see the players, and I think it's fun.
You know, Coach, back in your days as a youth, if you can remember back that far, I'm not even sure if the wheel was invented then. But talk to me, Konzo, about your experience as a young kid at camps and how that shaped you.
Well, the first camp I was able to go to, I was going into my junior year of high school. I was in East St. Louis, and we went as a team to Illinois basketball camp. It was a great experience because at that time, and it's not like it used to be. At that time, you had all the best players, like Chicago King was a great team. They bring their whole team. Simeon High School bring their whole team to these camps, and it was big time. You had great competition, and it was a great way to gauge yourself as a player. So for me, that was a great experience.
Was that back in Lou Dew days, back in the day at Illinois?
Well, that was back in the day. Exactly, Lou Dew. No doubt, great times.
I love that haircut. As we visit today with Konzo Martin on the show, Coach, they're talking about, there's a couple of things I want to talk about, big picture deals. The first thing is, the SEC's got to figure out what to do now with 14 teams. We're kind of in non-charter territory here. And there's been some talk about the possibility of keeping Vanderbilt as a fixed opponent twice a year and only playing Kentucky every other year here in Knoxville. What is your opinion on something like that, and have you given any thought to what we should do schedule-wise with this 14-team configuration?
My initial thoughts were I love the, even though there's not an east and west, so to speak, I love to keep east and west, so to speak, you know, because the fans have looked forward to, for so many years, to play against Kentucky, to play against Georgia, to play against Florida, obviously Vanderbilt. So to play those teams on a consistent basis, the Tennessee fan base looks forward to that. So I hate to lose that home and home, or home and away, so to speak, because I think it's fun for everybody. For me as a competitor, I love to play Kentucky every year. We can't play them every year, but maybe some kind of way. So I know one year at Purdue, when they changed, when I was an assistant coach, because it was Indiana, Purdue every year. Then when they changed it, when Penn State came to the league, we played them one time at Purdue. So what we did, we played at a neutral site in Indianapolis the same year. So we got a chance to play them twice. So, I mean, those are things you would think about if that happened. Hope it doesn't happen. Hope we can work some out these SEC meetings.
So you're telling me that if the league came to you and they said, hey, you guys are only playing Kentucky once, you would be open to yourself and Coach Cal and their athletic department getting together and saying, okay, well, let's schedule another one of these that doesn't count league-wise, but we still play it. Are you saying that today?
I love that, only because you have to give the fans what they're looking for, and I think the fans really embrace that, really enjoy that. Plus, it's also a great opponent. I mean, that's the best way to gauge yourself against the best. And I think our players will be disappointed about it. They found that we had played Kentucky twice. So we definitely try to make something happen. But both parties have to agree on something like that.
Coach Beno here. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And that's we certainly appreciate your thought along those lines as far as keeping the home and home with Kentucky going, however we have to do it. Coach, give us a little insight as to 1 year in, what areas do you think that – you have improved the most in? And is there an area still a year in where you think that maybe you're a little bit behind what you where you thought you would be going into year two?
Oh, good question. I think that offensively, I'll go try to go offense and defense. But offensively, I think the main area of improvement is obviously everybody has to improve individually. But I think we have to do a better job of not turning the ball over. I mean, we have almost 15-plus turnovers a game. That's unacceptable at this level with so many good players. So you have to get that down to 10 where we're one of the best in America, top 10 team, of not turning the ball over. Get it under 10 a game so you give yourself more possessions on the offensive side of the ball. So we really have to improve our post-passing more than anything. Our guards have to get better feeding our big guys. Got to be able to make quick passing, that quick bounce pass, lob pass to get those guys the ball. I think also on the perimeter, we've got to be better at knocking those perimeter shots down. Those shots when you're wide open has to be automatic. And that's 500-600 shots a day, not a week. So we got to get better at that. Then I think on the defensive side of the ball, we got better as the season went. But I think in a couple of areas, we have to get better individually from a defensive standpoint. So now you have five guys on the floor that can defend one-on-one in any situation.
How about as far as conference play goes, Coach? You're a Midwest guy, and you come into the Southeastern Conference, I'm sure, with a few preconceived notions. Anything about the style of play in the SEC that surprised you?
Not really. I think the only thing, you have great coaches in this league. You go from top to bottom. I don't think you can say one guy you question his ability to coach the game. These guys can coach at this level. They do a great job recruiting players. I think the only thing, the only question I have, and I don't know if it's necessarily a question, is we have to do a better job of finding a way to get more than 14 in the NCAA tournament. With this level of coaching, you have the best team in America in your league. So that game alone is a big game, whether you win or lose it. So we have to do a better way. Maybe, I don't know, preseason scheduling, you know, finding a way to get at least, especially with Mizzou and A&M coming into the league, of getting, you know, seven teams plus consistently in the NCAA tournament.
As we visit today on the program with Coach Konzo Martin on the show, and you know, Bina was talking about the Southeastern Conference and you're coming into it. How do you think Missouri, since you have your background, how do you think that's going to play long term, them coming into the league? Do you think that was a solid move for them?
I think it's a great move for not only Missouri, but also the SEC. I mean, to bring a university in of that caliber, great basketball tradition and history. I saw those guys growing up in East St. Louis, so I watched them every chance I could. They had a great season this past year. I think it'll be great. And A&M, you know, probably more so known as a football school, so to speak, but they have a great basketball tradition as well. Billy Gillespie really got the thing off the ground to a high level. So I think both great programs. I think they'll bring a lot to the university, plus also different locations, different venues, so to speak, but a great atmospheres.
You know what's funny about those people, and I was just up in St. Louis a couple weeks back, those people have what I call good old hometown sensibilities to them. I mean, from population-wise, fan base-wise, those people are very excited to be in this league, and they see it like there's an opportunity for them to go to the big time. They see this as a real upgrade for them. Do you think it's an upgrade for them too, Coach, from where they were?
Oh, without a doubt. I don't want to take anything from the previous league that they were in, but I just think, for example, I had somebody tell me Mizzou took out ads across parts of the country, in the southeastern parts of the country, with Mizzou billboards all around just saying, welcome to the SEC. So, I mean, I think they spent over $400,000. Somebody might have said to my read that, but really making a commitment to let everybody know we're part of this league and we're excited about it.
Yeah, man, those boards are everywhere. I mean, they are all over. They're all over that city. And, in fact, they're putting them in other towns as well.
Exactly.
As we visit today on the program today with Coach Konzo Martin, who's got a basketball camp coming up. Coach, how do folks find out more about your camp? Where can they go?
Well, they want to find out. They can go to Tennessee Sport. That's sport with a T, not an S at the end, but TennesseeSportCamps.com. And then they can also call 865-974-0703 to get more information about it. We'd love to have
TennesseeSportCamps.com. Again, TennesseeSportCamps.com. When do the camps go, Konzo? Do you know offhand?
We start the 4th. The first one is the 4th. We jump it off as an individual camp, and that'll be exciting. Then we go pretty much the whole month. We have an intensive skills camp, a fundamental skills camp, June the 4th to June the 7th, if I'm not mistaken. Then the second session will be like June 18th through the 21st. Then we have one I think a lot of dads are looking forward to, a father and son camp on June 10th. And that's exciting times, just so the father and son can be together and we interact as a staff, and once again our players will be there as well. So a lot of fun times in June here in Knoxville.
Father-son camp, you going to bring some of these dads in? That's like, that's daddy ball all over the place, Coach.
Oh, without a doubt, they actually play and they get after it. Some of these guys.
What?
I'm not kidding. These guys get after it. We'll do two-on-two, well, really four-on-four, two dads and two sons, and on the other side, two dads and two sons, they get after it.
That's not a bad idea. I'm going to call a couple of these old schleps, these old fat schleps who live in my neighborhood, and get them out there and abuse them tonight with my abilities. Coach, let's talk here for a second. Your non-conference schedule coming up next year, what's in the barn? What's done?
Well, right now we have the Puerto Rico tournament. That's in November, which is NC State is a top five team. Will be in it. Oklahoma State will be really good. Providence, which brings in two McDonald All-Americans. Penn State will be there. Akron will be there. UMass, who had a great run in NIT tournament, will be in that tournament. So it'll be a tough tournament for us. Great games for us early in the season. Then we have Virginia at Virginia, and then they'll return to us next season. Then we have tentatively finished up the paperwork, Wichita State and Xavier, both at our place. And once again, Memphis at our place. And we still have the SEC. I don't know the opponent, but more than likely we're on the road.
So Wichita State, Xavier. You said Memphis before. What about Memphis? They want to, for some reason, and now it's a couple different coaching staffs. Why do you think it is that they want to discontinue that series? That's just odd to me.
I think more so they feel like it gives, you know, Tennessee an advantage, but also other teams that will come in and play them, giving them an advantage to recruit in the Memphis area. And I can understand that, but I think, you know, for us, it's a great way. You know, we like to play Memphis there. It's a great way for our fans. We have a huge fan base in the Memphis area and those surrounding communities to give back to those fans. If it doesn't happen, hopefully we'd like to continue to happen. We probably have to find another opponent in that area, similar venue, so to speak, to make it happen.
Coach, I think you also have an off-season overseas trip coming up, and talk a little bit, if I'm correct in that assumption, talk a little bit about the advantages that come from that.
Well, we're taking a trip to Italy August 5th through the 15th, so a 10-day trip. It'll be a great experience for our guys. I think more than anything, I had an opportunity as a player to go on a foreign trip when I played at Purdue. We came back and won the Big Ten. It was in 93, if I'm not mistaken. Then I went as an assistant coach when I was at Purdue. But I think what it did for me as a player, I mean, you're playing good competition on the basketball floor. I think we played four games. But more important, I think it helped me develop a better relationship with my coaching staff at Purdue. And what I mean by that, you see your coach in the office, you see him on the court, and you go by his house from time to time, and there's functions going on, but you don't really get a feel for him around his family on a consistent basis. What coach, so to speak, has sandals on, he has house shoes on. So I had a different understanding, or a different feel, and different appreciation, a love for Coach Katie when I had a chance to be with him on a foreign trip, because I got a chance to really know him on the day, because we were together from breakfast till it was time to go to bed.
Coach, one more thing. When you, I know you can't talk about individual recruits, but when you're in your evaluation period and you're watching players, give me two attributes that if you see those in a young man, you automatically want to pursue him.
That's a trick question.
Okay, well, let's take attitude and character out. So hopefully that part is understood in a good way, so let's take that out of the way. I like to see if a guy can really score the ball, because really, you know, I talk defense all the time, and I have a love for defense, but I really enjoy offense. And I think really offense, you can teach a skill and skill and skill. Either you have it or you don't. You can hone in on a skill, you can get better at certain areas, but you're not going to get a guy to jump from a 30-inch vertical to a 40-inch vertical. You know, it's just, sometimes when I look at a guy, his skill level, can he score the ball? That's probably the biggest thing I look at. Can he really score the ball? Because I think you can make guys good defenders if they have a desire and they have a level of toughness. Well, I like to see guys that can really score the ball. It depends on what position we're looking for. But from a point guard spot, the only spot that if he can score, I'll take a point guard that's a setup guy, can really run a team and really defend. He doesn't necessarily have to be a scorer, but if he can score, that's well. But other, in those other positions, I like to get guys that can score the ball. As a big man, you, if you're a shot blocker, defender, tough, hard-nosed guy, that's fine too. But my twos, threes, and power forward position, I like those guys to put the ball in the basket on a consistent basis.
Hey, Coach, the young man from Atlanta who we just signed recently. And by the way, you talk about a quality young person. We spent time with him a couple times on the show, and I'm really impressed with how mature that kid is. Just some of the things that come out of his mouth for somebody his age, extremely precocious. But is he going to have, do you feel like, is he going to have an opportunity to play point guard at this level, or do you project him somewhere else?
I see him as a combo glosser. He'll play some point for us because he can handle it. He can really score the ball. He's, you know, 6'5", almost 6'6", as a guard. Can handle it and get to that. I think the best attribute about him, he can really get to the rim. He's one of those guys that when you watch him play, he's a good street ball player. What I mean by that, guys can play in any different, whether it's Chicago, New York, California. He just can play. He's a basketball player, has a great instinct about the game where he just reads and reacts off instinct, you know, and the good ones can do that. You know, obviously it'll take time for him just to learn and understand the system, but hopefully some will really help him. But he just has a good feel for how to play the game and making moves and making quick decisions.
Coach, on the way out, and I really appreciate your time. And by the way, the basketball camps are right around the corner, and the website, once again, is what? Say that again for me.
Well, TennesseeSportCamps.com. TennesseeSportCamps.com, and the number is, again, 865-974-0703.
Hey, Coach, Rita here over at Pilot wants me to ask you, do you believe that the Heat are in trouble, or you like me and believe eventually they'll win this series?
Man, you know, Tony, I'd love to go with you on this one, but I think they're in trouble. Just from the standpoint, without Chris Bosh, they don't have a proven low post score. And then with, you know, Dwayne Wade struggling right now, LeBron struggling from the standpoint, he's thinking more about it. It's going to be tough for him. And the one thing about the Pacers, they defend, they play hard, and they have five guys on the floor that can make plays and can do things on both ends of the floor. So it'll be tough for him. I'm not saying they won't win the series, but it'll be extremely tough for him to get out of this one.
You know what the Pacers have, which I think is really interesting in today's game because you don't see it much? They have a lot of old school in them. That Hibbert guy is an old school center. He's dominating the game inside. You don't see that anymore. He dominated that game last night inside.
It's impressive, right?
Really impressive. And surprising, too. And then some of the other series. I look out there. I mean, Oklahoma City looks to me, Coach, like they're on another plane from everybody else. What do you think?
Well, we'll see when they go to L.A. We'll see what level they're playing at. They can score the ball. They're 1, 2, and 3 men are the best in the business as far as putting the ball in the rim. But, you know, the Lakers had a chance to beat them. Steve Blake missed a tough shot in the corner. But we'll see if they can maintain when they go to L.A. because it'll be a tough environment for them. L.A. will be at home. L.A. is physical on the blocks. I think the Lakers are tied up in L.A. I don't know if they'll win it, but I think they'll tie it up.
How about that? Coach, I will mark that down. I hope you have a great day. Real pleasure talking with you. Again, the camps come up beginning in the first week of June. And that father-son camp, I might have to get out in the driveway, start working on the game a little bit, and get in there, Coach. I don't know what you could do with me.
I tell you what you can do with everybody standing around, Coach. Get them some hard hats. If Basilio's out there chunking it up.
Coach, have a Doc Gooden. Pleasure talking with you. Take care.
Thank you guys for having me.